This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So it's been a couple of days since the Mueller grilling on Capitol Hill. And if you watched any of that, he just looked like a confused old man. And obviously, if you paid attention to it, and again, he was being grilled, and it was totally a partisan affair, where the Democrats were grilling Robert Mueller because they're not happy that his 2-year investigation into Russia meddling with our 2016 election did not link Donald Trump to that and take him down. And so they weren't happy with Robert Mueller. The Republicans weren't happy with Robert Mueller because of the fact that this investigation went on for 2 years and they weren't able to find anything. And many Republicans thought, like Trump says, that it was a huge witch hunt. So nothing changed after the Mueller grilling a couple of days ago, but one thing is now known, and it is now known for sure. And even Democrats will admit this. This Mueller report looks really bad for Barack Obama. Why is that? Because Barack Obama and his administration in 2014 knew that the Russians were meddling with our stuff, with our junk. And they didn't do anything about it. Remember, this is 2 years now. Obama's still president. It's 2014. This is 2 years before the 2016 election. And the Obama administration, without a doubt, knew on his watch, he knew that the Russians meddled in our democracy, and his administration didn't do anything about it. Why didn't they do anything about it? Some experts believe that Barack Obama wanted to get the Iran deal done. He wanted to get them to agree to limit their nuclear capabilities. And by the way, he gave a lot of American money to Iran. I mean, a lot of money for that. And he needed Putin on his side. He needed Putin with him to agree what he was doing was all right.
Vladimir Putin.
And so if he started challenging Putin about messing with our elections while he was trying to get the Iran deal done, he might have not been able to do it. That's why Obama went soft on Russia. It was because he was singularly focused on the nuclear deal with Iran. Again, he wanted Putin in the deal, and to stand up to him on the election interference would have upset that negotiation. And that turned out to be a disastrous policy decision. But, I mean, you're never going to get that out of much of the media, who thinks Barack Obama can do no wrong. And, you know, anybody who seemed to say anything negative about Barack Obama's politics, they were called names, usually a name that began with the letter R. And so a lot of people just didn't want to, why put myself through this if, if I disagree with this guy, the first black president in American history.
Well, he's half black.
Well, they're going to call you a racist for doing that. But there's no doubt about it. You could be the biggest Barack Obama fan, and you could be the biggest Donald Trump hater, but that has now become obvious. That the Mueller report does not look good for Barack Obama.
I mean, so could this be considered, it's a, not an act of commission, it's an act of omission. He knew something and did nothing. I mean, could this be, dare I say the T word, could this be treasonous?
I don't know if I'd go as far to say treasonous, but in my opinion, and I'm not the only one, the Iran policy, the Iran decision to give them all that money to have them limit what they can do with their nuclear capability, that was disaster. That was a disastrous policy decision. And he wanted Putin on his side with that. And so if he starts questioning Putin about Russia messing around with our electoral process, our election, he might have not gotten Putin to stand up with him on the whole Iran deal. So yeah, sure. You could say Putin and Russia wanted Trump to win. All right.
Well,
there's no doubt they haggled in our election.
But as I've said, the two-part Frontline episode, I believe, is called Putin's Revenge 1 and 2. It's not that Putin wanted Trump to win. Putin was going to do whatever it took to keep Hillary from winning.
He did not want that woman to win.
And if you don't believe me, watch it and judge for yourself. But it's pretty cut and dried. And it's very entertaining. Frontline does such an awesome job. Don't agree with their politics necessarily, but it's a good watch.
And by the way, they had a story. It was an op-ed story about what I was just telling you about on CNN.com, of all places. Though the person who wrote it, and it's titled, Mueller's Report Looks Bad for Obama. And yes, believe it or not, that is actually on CNN.com. The person who wrote it
is bobbing in the Potomac right now, right?
No, his name is Scott Jennings. He's a CNN contributor, but he was a former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and he was a former campaign advisor to Mitch McConnell. And so, yeah, I mean, you know that he's definitely a right-wing guy, but the facts that he lays out in this story, a couple of them I just told you, there's no doubt about it that Barack Obama and his administration knew 2 years before the 2016 election in 2014 that the Russians were meddling in our electoral process.
Right. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And oh, by the way, happy Day.
Jesus. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. If someone wasn't from here and saw this headline I'm about to tell you, they would scratch their head. The headline says, lawyers in clergy abuse lawsuit seek documents from Saints executives. Yeah, so if you're not
scratching my head.
But if you're not from here, lawyers in clergy abuse lawsuit seek documents from Saints executives. You'd be thinking, okay, there's trouble in the church, and now they're going after executives for which saints? St. John? Which saints?
St. Bonaventure?
Yeah, exactly. Lawyers in clergy abuse lawsuit seek documents from Saints executives.
St. John Bosco.
Like all of a sudden, some of these saints, they're lawyering up.
Bosco!
Would just make some people, if I wasn't from here, I'd be looking into the sky saying, wow, I got legal representation? But when it comes to the Saints, today is the first day of training camp. Camp is officially open. And the only question that many Saints fans have this morning
is why do we have all of the local news stations have a reporter out there standing with the lighted facility behind them and nothing else going on?
Oh.
Although I take that back, there are people out there already ready to when they open the facility, there are people ready to go in and do their thing.
Even though tickets are free for a bunch of Saints camp workouts, camp practices there in Metairie, they're all so pretty much all sold out from everything I read. Even though they're free, I know technically how do you sell out something that's free? They're all given out.
Right. There's a limited number of spaces available, I guess you would say.
What would you?
Not been out there. I've never seen camp.
What would you call that if because you can't call it sold out if they're giving the tickets away for free.
Well, you got me on that one.
I guess given out would be would.
All the available. Oh, I don't know. Well, if you don't already have your thing, you can't go. How about that? I can't go.
Well, the biggest question most Saints fans have this morning as camp opens is, are they going to pay Michael Thomas? Michael Thomas is the greatest wide receiver in the history of the New Orleans Saints organization. There's not really a question about that. You look at his statistics, and he's still playing on his on the contract, his rookie contract that he signed. And the Saints have offered him $18 million a year for a few years, for several years. He wants $20 million a year. It's that magic $20 million a year number. If he can make $20 million a year, he would be the first and only wide receiver in the history of the NFL to make that much money. As it is right now, he's the third highest paid wide receiver on the Saints behind Ted Ginn and a guy named Cameron Meredith, who has hardly played for the Saints. They got him, and then he got hurt. And then Michael Thomas is the third highest paid wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. People that are fairly close to the situation are saying Saints fans should not worry about this. Michael Thomas will get paid. Again, camp starts today. He won't be there today, but he's going to get paid at some point. The question is, will it be sooner or later? And I think most Saints fans agree, give this guy what he wants. Although I did see a few Saints fans say, what's wrong with $18 million a year? Why are you holding out over $2 million, an extra $2 million a year? Why are you doing that? But I don't think you could question the fact. You look at his numbers, you look at his statistics. You know, the first few years of his career, he's, I believe, when you talk about all NFL wide receivers in the history of the league, his first few years are better than pretty much anybody else who's ever played the position in the history of the NFL. When you look at his statistics.
Well, two questions about his situation. Is it too early? I mean, at what point, how many days into camp would you begin to call it a holdout, or is it automatically a holdout? And the second question is, my follow-up question for you, is in a case like this, is it the player's agent who just says, no, you know you're not showing up for camp, right? And then, oh, yeah, okay. Or is it does the player say, hey, look, agent XYZ, I'm not showing up for camp for this many days until we...
They're working together. I don't know who's leading who.
Right.
But they're working together. A player tells his agent, well, this is what I want. And then, you know, the agent, if the agent thinks that his player isn't worth that, he would probably just tell him. But if the agent believes that his player is worth that, then he would say, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do A, B, and C.
And then I guess if you get to a point where the player and the agent aren't on the same page, the agent goes away and agent number two comes in, replacement agent. I don't understand all that. I don't understand agents at all. I don't know how that works.
Well, it's not that difficult to figure out an agent.
Like, if I wanted to get an agent, what would I do? Just go to A and the yellow. Well, I don't even know, can't find the yellow pages.
Well, you would try to find someone that represents people who work in the radio business. You know,
is this thing on? Should I?
I've had an agent before. The one agent that I had died not that long ago.
Now, when you say died, do you mean figuratively?
I have nothing to do with it.
Or literally?
No, he literally died.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Michael Thomas has played 3 years in the NFL. And in those 3 years, he has 321 catches for 3,787 yards and 23 touchdowns.
Now, adjusted for inflation, what would that be?
And those are just regular season numbers. So, I mean, you can write down he's going to catch over 100 passes for over 1,200 to 1,300 yards. You can write that down. And he is Drew Brees' go-to guy. I mean, in his first three seasons, he's got a ways to go. But in his first three seasons, he's putting up Hall of Fame numbers. Again, he's got a little ways to go. He's got to have another 3, 4, 5 years like that. But from everybody I've talked to, and you know, our radio station, Bayou 95.7, we're owned by the same company that owns the flagship station of the New Orleans Saints, WWL. Their studio's right next to ours over here. And everybody I've talked to in there and a few of the people that I've talked to outside of the building on the street, they all say, don't worry about it. He's gonna get his money. Whether it's
that's good enough for me.
Yeah, whether it's the $18 million a year or whether it's the $20 million a year, it'll be a lot more than the $1 million a year that he makes now that he has been making. You know, some people say, look, dude, you signed a contract. And they would say that to the agent. They would say, look, you signed a contract. So what, you're walking out on the contract you signed? But he's at this point disgustingly underpaid. And we'll see if it gets done today or tomorrow, but I expect it to get done within the next couple of days from everything that I've heard. The only question is, will he get the $20 million a year that he wants and be the first wide receiver in NFL history to make $20 million a year? Stay tuned. I'm so excited. Camp is here. Big football fan. We'll be talking a lot of Saints on this show. And it just can't come fast enough. Yes, Saints camp opens today. Coming up on the show, did you hear the story about what happened in Bud's Broiler in Metairie? Guy opened fire inside there, and I don't think it had anything to do with the quality of his hamburger. We'll give you the details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Got a happy story from LSU. A group of LSU students saved a professor after he had sudden cardiac arrest. See that? He was swimming in a pool there on the Baton Rouge campus. And a group of LSU students are responsible for saving the life of an LSU faculty member, Professor James Oxley. He's an LSU Boyd professor. And he went into sudden cardiac arrest while swimming laps at the indoor pool inside the LSU University Recreation Building. A Boyd professor, when I saw that, I said, what's a Boyd professor? A Boyd professor is the highest professional ranking offered by the university. And he said, quote, I was less than halfway through my regular swim when I stopped swimming. I don't really know why I stopped. Evidently, I slipped under the water and came back up and then fell across the lane ropes. Another swimmer named John Foster, as well as one other person, who we don't know yet, dragged me out of the water. That's when the group of the LSU students who work at that pool, they work in that building, they use their training and jumped into action. They started doing CPR. And one of the students is from New Orleans, Isabella Alvarez. She's a senior. She was in the lifeguard stand, and she was one of the students that helped save his life. Good news.
And happy ending to that story.
And now that professor can get back to swimming. He's just got to be careful. All right, coming up next, did you see what happened at Bud's Broiler in Metairie when some guy opened fire, then his girlfriend was there? And we'll explain. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, you know, Bud's Broiler has made news because they're going to open a new Bud's Broiler right around the corner from where the legendary Bud's Broiler was on City Park Avenue for all of those years. You know, that got bought by somebody else, and it's something else now. But pretty soon, and we've mentioned it on the show before, right around the corner from there, right on Canal, there's going to be a new Bud's Broiler here in New Orleans, and we're fired up about that. But the Bud's Broiler in Metairie on North Causeway Boulevard made some news recently. Did you see this story? These two people walked in there, a man and a woman, and the woman used to work there. But these two walked in, and the man pulled out a gun to hold up the Bud's Broiler restaurant.
Oh boy.
On North Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. What happened was an employee of the restaurant, someone who was working there, was taking out the garbage.
Why does it always happen with that scenario? Go ahead.
Well, remember what I said when I started telling this story. The woman involved in this used to work there.
Right.
So this might have been an inside job. She might have said to her guy, wait till the he empties the garbage about this time, then the back door will be open.
That is speculation.
I watch police shows, Brewster. You know what I mean? I don't have any police training.
You remember the tragic story of the young manager who was killed at the Raising Cane's in Kenner, and it had a similar situation where someone started with someone taking trash out or something like that. And so when you said that, that's what I thought of. Well, tragic story.
Yeah, this just happened recently at Bud's Broiler in Metairie. An employee at the restaurant was taking out the trash when a man followed him back inside the business at about 9 o'clock at night. The man then brandished a pistol and confronted two employees inside the Bud's Broiler. One of the employees, a 29-year-old man, took off running once he saw the perp pull out the gun. So you know what the perp did? He shot at him as the guy's running away, but he missed. So the Bud's Broiler employee got away. After that, the robber just grabbed as much cash as he could, an undisclosed amount of cash, before fleeing. No one else really was injured. There were no injuries. Detectives were able to identify a suspect. They identified 24-year-old Dasmaine Greenup of Metairie.
I'm sorry, who?
His first name is spelled D-A-Z-M-A-I-N. Dasmaine Greenup. And his last name is spelled like it, like it's,
like it sounds.
Like right. It sounds. Greenup. 24 years old. He's from Metairie. And he was just booked with attempted first-degree murder for firing the shot at the 29-year-old Bud's Broiler employee who was running away once he saw that this lunatic had a gun. And a woman was arrested as well. As remember when I started the story? She used to work there. Her name is Brianka McGee. I don't know if Dasmain and Brianka were an item. I don't know if they're a couple. She's 24 as well, and she's from Metairie as well. Again, Dasmain Greenup. He was booked with armed robbery and attempted first-degree murder for firing the shot. The woman, Brianka, who used to work at that Bud's Broiler, she was driving the getaway car. And she was booked with armed robbery as well, even though she was just driving the getaway car. If you're driving a getaway car and you're part of an armed robbery, that kind of thing, you get charged with that. You know, it's interesting how some people think that they can get away with certain things when there's cameras everywhere. This woman used to work there. Do you think it was very difficult once they called the cops and the cops showed up and they said, well, we think the woman who was in the car, she used to work here. Yeah, we know who she is. Well, good police work anyways by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's officers. Yeah, you know, as we sit here in the year 2019, I'm always amazed at the names of people. And I've never seen this one before, Dasmain.
Write that down in your list.
Someone, when he was born, his mother looked at him and said, you know, he looks like a Dasmain. Well, now he'll be hanging out in the Jefferson Parish Correctional building over there in Gretna for a while, along with the woman who used to work there and drove the getaway car. What? How dumb do you have to be?
See, the thing you're leaving out of that equation, though, is desperation. The desperate situation that, for whatever reason, people—I wouldn't even say these two people—but people need cash for whatever it is.
Think about it. How much cash are you going to get from a Bud's Broiler?
See,
the Bud's Broiler in Metairie, when probably most people these days pay with the debit card.
Desperate.
How much cash is going to be in a hamburger joint?
Desperation and opportunity. And again, it's mentioned, we don't know the full situation, but she having worked there in the past, don't know if it's a quote-unquote inside job or not. All speculative at this point, I would imagine. But you have to think, not everything is premeditated. This could have been, you know, cooked
just
up.
Just driving down the road, and she said,
it's like, wait, here's da-da-da, whatever, and there it is.
Well, for something that they didn't think much about, or maybe they did, they're going to be behind bars for a very long time, especially Dasmain.
Right.
For trying to shoot the scared employee who was running away once he saw the gun. And luckily, Dasmain wasn't a very good shot.
Right.
See, and he missed the guy running away.
After the fact, you have plenty of time to sit there in your cell and think about what you've done and how you might have done it better.
You know what I'd be thinking if I was him? You named me Dasmain? Really, Mom? Dasmain?
Write that down.
Coming up on the show, a country rock band has been booted from its second state fair because of its name. That's all, just because of its name. We'll tell you what its name is coming up.
Is it Dasmain?
No, it's not Dasmain. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. A famous dive bar in New Orleans just shut down because the very old owner isn't doing well. And Brothers Three Lounge, a legendary dive bar on Magazine Street, uptown. It's only a block up from Miss May's, actually. That's my old neighborhood. I used to live right behind there. And Brothers Three Lounge, known for being a dive bar, also known for its jukebox that had a lot of country music on there. You don't see that a lot here in the city of New Orleans, where you walk into bars and you hear country music a lot. But Brothers Three Lounge is no more. It's locked up, and it was basically a beer and a shot bar. And they're going to honor the guy who owned the place, Mr. Johnny, they called him, John Sylvie Jr. He was an Irish Channel native. Opened up that bar a long time. He died last Saturday at age 86. Opened up that bar with two of his brothers a long time ago. Actually, right around 1970, but then he moved it to the property where it has been for a long time, 4520 Magazine Street. And he owned it with a couple of his brothers. That's why they called it Three Brothers. But I always remember seeing the motorcycles outside, the bikes outside, and I always remember hearing the country music coming from inside. It was a classic, legendary dive bar. That's what it was. And they're going to have a, even though the door's locked, a bunch of people are going to show up there and hang outside and pay tribute to this guy coming up. It's just a place that's been around for literally 30, 40 years. It's no more. And as a lot of New Orleans and Magazine Street around it changed, it never did. It always stayed the same. So, coming up next, we look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
July 26th.
July 26th. Among many other things that I just don't understand, so I'm going to not read them. Today is National Aunts and Uncles Day, or as you would say, Aunts and Uncles. Potato, potato, aunt. Today is also National System Administrator Day, so I guess that means like your IT person, the person who, unbeknownst to you, has all of your passwords and goes through all of your files at work. And if he has TeamViewer, he probably goes through your computer at home.
I'm glad somebody can remember all my passwords.
We have a very good IT guy here, Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's a good guy. Todd wears a... Todd has an interesting look. He wears a bomber jacket when it's 90 degrees. Who am I to ask questions? I'm not exactly a fashion plate. I'm wearing cargo shorts because I think it's still 1999. And a Jazz Fest t-shirt, so who am I to say?
Yes, some of these IT guys are known for their wild ways.
Yes, well, yes, they are. I tell Todd that all the time when I pass him in the hallway. Todd, put a tent on that circus, please.
July 26th. Hey, the United States Postal System was established today. In 1775.
Why today doesn't suck.
Can you believe that? The United States Postal Service.
I'm still getting packages from 1775.
Yeah, the United States Postal System was established before we officially became the United States. Today in 1775, the United States Postal System is established by the Second Continental Congress with Benjamin Franklin as its very first Postmaster General.
That's right.
Benjamin Franklin put in place the foundation for many aspects of today's mail system. Although it was the Postal Service, I guess, was needed a lot more back then than it was as we sit here in the year 2019.
You think?
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin
yes,
was America's
first
Postmaster
yes.
General?
Yes, and the current Postmaster, I think, is Wilford Brimley, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, what is he, 19th or 23rd in line to be president?
Yes.
If anything happens to the president, the vice president, keep
right.
going down.
Postmaster
going down the line
General. Yeah. Well, that'd be something.
That's not the only thing that was established today.
Right.
July 26th. The FBI was founded today in 1908.
Why today doesn't suck.
That I did not know.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation is born when United States Attorney General Charles Bonaparte, I don't know if he's any relation to Napoleon, but he ordered a group of newly hired federal investigators to report to Chief Examiner Stanley W. Finch of the Department of Justice.
Yes.
And, so how about that? The FBI. All of a sudden, he showed up today. July 26th. It's today in 1945.
Why today doesn't suck.
Winston Churchill resigned. In the 11th hour of World War II, Winston Churchill is forced to resign as British Prime Minister following his party's electoral defeat by the Labour Party. Can you believe that? I mean, history is... looks at Winston Churchill as a great leader, a strong leader, but he was forced to resign right at the end of World War II. He was his party got beat.
It was on this day, ironically, that same year, July 26, 1945.
Why today doesn't suck?
That kicks off our birthdays as the bombs stopped falling on Britain around that time. Helen Mirren, Dame Helen Mirren, was born on this date in that year, making her 74 years old. Another nice-looking dame. Can I say that? Can you call women dames anymore? How about Tomato? She is one hot-looking tomato. That would be turning 55 today. Strong New Orleans connections, and I believe part-time resident. Sandra Bullock is 55, celebrating a birthday today.
I like Sandra Bullock.
Yes. Kate Beckinsale is 46.
I really like Kate Beckinsale. She is very good looking.
Somebody whose name I wrote down, Dorothy Hamill, figure skating legend Dorothy Hamill, is 63.
Hmm.
Continuing to not be incarcerated, and I maintain that he won't be, and I maintain that he'll be back on TV and or movies or something someday. Happy birthday, born on this date in 1959, so that would make him 60, Kevin Spacey.
Well, we've talked about Kevin Spacey a lot on this show.
Yeah, and he's still not in jail.
Can I quickly go back to Dorothy Hamill?
Yes.
She was obviously known most.
Your show, go ahead.
Well, she was known most, obviously, she became famous for being a great figure skater.
But also that haircut.
She was known just as much for her haircut her figure skating.
What would you call that? Like a little...
The Dorothy Hamill.
Little Dutch boy? Kind of a variation on little Dutch boy. It's kind of the haircut you had when you came here from Miami 11 years ago.
I hadn't gotten a haircut in a while when I showed up here.
I should post that. I should really post that.
Please
picture.
Don't.
No, don't. How much? How much is it worth to you? And also, tragically, she would have been 79, born on this date, July 26th. Mary Jo Kopechne, she didn't make it because she took an ill-fated car ride with then-Senator Ted Kennedy, which we talked about earlier in the week. Also today, July 26th, it was in 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
A Staples Back to School campaign commercial starring Alice Cooper humorously utilizing his song School's Out premiered nationally. The commercial depicted Alice Cooper in the role of a father shopping for back to school supplies with his daughter, who is unhappy about returning to school, as are all kids, I think. Unhappy about returning to school.
Well, you would think if Alice Cooper was going to do any commercial for school, it would be the last day of school because school's out.
Well, you're right.
Instead of...
So they did like a little switcheroo there, a little juxtaposition. It was on this date, July 26th, 1986.
Why today doesn't suck.
Peter Gabriel reached the top of the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart for the first and only time with Sledgehammer, the great song from the great album So. It's been just 1 week at number one. He also peaked at number two on the album chart with So, spending 3 weeks at number two. Great songs on So. In Your Eyes, Sledgehammer, Big Time. I like that album a lot. I like Peter Gabriel. And he shares my birthday, February 13th.
What was so unique about that album is it was commercial. And he had nothing to do with... He left Genesis, and because Genesis, when he was in it, was not commercial.
Right.
Avant-garde. And
right.
All of a
progressive,
sudden,
sure.
All of a sudden, he goes solo, and his music's being played on radio?
Well, and it was two things happened at just the right time, although it was not on that album. The great song Shock the Monkey, which had a very, not disturbing video, but just a very quick cut MTV style, just perfect for MTV, flashy video. And then the great videos for both Big Time, similar, Big Time and Sledgehammer, really catapulted people who did not know Peter Gabriel. Either knew him from Genesis or did not know him at all. And he went into the stratosphere after that. He is one of the few singers. He was on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony a few years ago. He is one of these few singers, male singers, who can still hit every single note in the original recorded key. Peter Gabriel's incredible. It was on this date, July 26, 1970.
Why today doesn't suck.
Jimi Hendrix performs for the final time in his hometown of Seattle. He reminded the audience how disappointed he was that he had to go to the UK to make it in the music business before his home country accepted him. And he went to the UK and sadly didn't come back.
Mm.
On this date, sad news, July 26, 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
If you've seen the movie... The song remains the same. When I was probably 21 years old, I thought it was the greatest movie ever made. Now it's just kind of, it's laughable. It's amateurish. The song remains the same. Very little of the concert footage matches up to those performances. So there are a lot of places where you might see Jimmy Page playing a solo high up on the neck or down on the neck. And he's not playing. It's obviously not what he's playing, but it's one of those indulgent 70s rock and roll excess movies. But if you remember, at one point, Robert Plant and his family are playing around like a stream, and his young son Carrick is, shall we say, he's like two or three at the time, like discovering himself for the first time. Sadly, Carrick died of an unknown, unidentified viral infection on this date that year, and Led Zeppelin's tour of North America was immediately scrapped. Robert Plant went into a depression. It was either just after that or before that. Then he was in a car accident, and that, a lot of folks say, led to the very uneven album Presence, because Robert Plant's mind just wasn't in it. And then the song, In Through the Outdoor, the final real studio album by Led Zeppelin, who a lot of people don't like, but it has some good moments on it. Birthdays today also, Gary Cherone, singer for Extreme and Van Halen, is 53. Drummer for Queen Roger Taylor is 70. And Sir Michael Jagger is 76. Happy birthday, Mick Jagger.
Michael Philip Jagger.
Yes, to you and to me.
Name on his birth certificate. July 26th, it was today in 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
The drummer from Iron Maiden, Nico McBrain, gets arrested outside of their Wanton, New York concert date. He got arrested because he ran over a parking attendant.
You can't be doing that, even if you are the drummer for Iron Maiden.
July 26th. It was today in 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
Speaking of getting arrested, Elvis Costello is arrested for playing outside of the London Hilton Hotel. He was playing out there to try to gin up interest from record executives.
Right.
So they might give him an American record deal.
Right.
And I guess there were a couple of American record executives that were inside that hotel. He sets up the play outside the hotel on the street.
And gets arrested.
Didn't have a permit. And Elvis Costello got arrested.
How about that?
And finally.
Yes.
July 26th. It was today in 1984.
Why today doesn't suck.
One of the most infamous American serial killers died.
What year?
1984.
Peter Ueberroth.
No.
Mary Lou Retton.
Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
a serial killer infamous for skinning human corpses. And then the movie that was made, basically...
Ed Gein, there was a movie made called Ed Gein, or it actually has another title, like Midnight or something like that. And ironically, Ed Gein is played by actor Steve Railsback, who about 20 years prior played Charles Manson in the made-for-TV Helter Skelter movie.
And not just that movie, but was it Silence of the Lambs basically based on him, Anthony?
Ed Gein is the inspiration for... In a composite way, the inspiration for Norman Bates in Psycho,
yep,
for Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, not for Hannibal Lecter, but for Buffalo Bill, and also for, it's escaping me, but yeah, Ed Gein, that movie is just disturbing, the things that he would do and the things he would eat. We'll just leave it at that. I guess you could throw Hannibal Lecter in there, too, as well.
And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, we will tell you about this country band who has just been removed from their second state fair all because of their name, the band's name. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Newspaper circulation has fallen to a 79-year low. But I think we'll always have newspapers because you can't train puppies on the internet and you can't line a birdcage with the internet. So I think there will always be a need for newspapers. It's just not reading the news anymore because you're literally reading yesterday's news. Coming up next on the show, we're going to tell you about this country rock band who just got booted from their second state fair because of their name. That's next, here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, Slow Hand, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. You know, Eric Clapton there, 50 years ago yesterday, Eric Clapton, who was the first guitarist of the Yardbirds, shared a venue and played a show with the new band of the third guitar player from the Yardbirds. Eric Clapton was in the band Blind Faith, and Jimmy Page was in the band Led Zeppelin, and they shared the stage. Both of their bands played 50 years ago yesterday at the Midwest Rock Festival at the State Fairgrounds in West Allis, Wisconsin. Led Zeppelin played, and they played Train Kept a Rollin', which Clapton was familiar with because he was in the Yardbirds.
What year was this?
This was 1969.
Oh, okay.
And after Zeppelin played, they asked Eric Clapton, "Hey, what do you think about this new band? I mean, since you and the guitar player of that band both used to be in the Yardbirds." Clapton said, quote, "They were very loud. I thought it was unnecessarily loud. I liked some of it. I really did like some of it. But a lot of it was just too much. They overemphasized whatever point they were making," I thought. That's what Eric Clapton said after he saw Led Zeppelin play 50 years ago yesterday at a state fair in Wisconsin. And I found it interesting because both of those guys were the guitar player of the Yardbirds before they got into those particular bands. It was pretty cool.
This has been, I don't know what to call it. This has been with John Osterlund.
Speaking of state fairs, there's a country rock band who's making news because they just got booted from the second state fair because of its name. The name of the band is Confederate Railroad. And for the second time, again, just weeks after it was removed from an Illinois state fair performance over accusations that their name is racist, Southern country rock band Confederate Railroad has once again been barred from performing at another upcoming state fair, this one in New York.
What's wrong with the word railroad?
Hmm.
I like trains.
The band was scheduled to play a state fair in upstate New York on August 1st. However, a spokesperson for that fair said the band's performance has been canceled. Quote, "The Ulster County Fair in New York must be an event that everyone can enjoy while representing the values of all members of our community," a rep said for that. "Any showcasing of a symbol of division and racism runs counter to that principle and will be vigorously opposed by my administration." So the band's name, they're saying, causes division. Again, the band's name is Confederate Railroad.
Can you go back and read the part about how everyone deserves to... Could you read that again? Everyone deserves to enjoy.
Yeah, the Ulster New York County Fair must be an event that everyone can enjoy while representing the values of all members of our community.
Is it possible for me to go to that fair? Is it just one day? Could I go on a day?
I think it's a weekend.
Could I go on a different day when Confederate Railroad is not playing?
Good point.
No one's forcing me to go.
Here's the question I have.
Do I have to ruin it for everyone?
Who booked the band? Because when they booked the band, the Southern country rock band called Confederate Railroad.
Right. Full disclosure, they didn't just, they're not new. They've been around forever. And in another radio lifetime, I actually played Confederate Railroad on the air. Most notably, I had to look up the song because I couldn't remember.
Is that when you were on the country station, Brewster Skadooster?
Yes. What? What are you talking about? The song Trashy Women is probably their biggest hit, I guess.
Hmm. But this has now happened twice this summer, where state fairs, one in Illinois and one in New York, booked the Southern country rock band called Confederate Railroad. And then when it was getting close for them to play that gig, they were removed from the bill because of their name, Confederate Railroad. And they say the name Confederate is just racist and it's divisive. The rock band's logo, the Southern rock band's logo, country rock band, whatever you want to call them, has come under scrutiny in recent weeks. It's a
sound it out. What?
It's a steam train,
right,
flying dual Confederate flags. See, that's the thing.
Surprise, surprise.
If anybody from anywhere else in this country except for the South sees the Confederate flag at this point, right, as we sit here in the year 2019, they say racist, they point to that. Do you know, I think it's easier to buy a Nazi flag in the United States of America now than it is to buy a Confederate flag?
You can buy anything you want. I don't know how you quantify that, which one's easier, but you can get anything.
The front man from Confederate Railroad, Danny Shirley, isn't happy about all of this. He says, quote, "I've done nothing wrong. I love the part of the country I'm from, and I will never apologize for that."
Yeah, see, that's just one of those things you mentioned. Who booked this band? I mean, it's these things in little municipalities. They're rubber stamped. Oh, here's the list of entertainment for this year's state fair. Okay, next, rubber stamp. Move on. You know, there's not time to scrutinize everything.
I told you the story about not that long ago. I sent my young nephew a video of Leonard Skinner performing the song Freebird live.
That's Don Osterlin, little Don Osterlin, right?
No, his name's Jay, actually.
Well, just play along.
And
Don is funnier.
I said, hey, check this out. See if you like this or not. And he said, yeah, it was a great song when he got back to me on Facebook, but he said, why are they racist?
Right.
And I asked him, well, why do you think that they're racist? He said, because they've got that flag behind them on stage. And he was talking about the Confederate flag. Now, to a young kid who doesn't know, you know, I'm trying to teach him rock and roll.
Right.
And he asked me that. And evidently, if you're from anywhere else in this country except for the South, as we sit here in the year 2019, if you see the Confederate flag, it is now stamped on your brain that is a symbol of racism. And that flag right there, that is the reason we had a Civil War. And we had the Civil War because the Southerners wanted to keep black people as slaves, and the Northerners didn't. That is what history says. And we know that's not the only
right.
reason.
Right, doesn't take into consideration that northern states along the border were fighting for one thing, while the Northeast, the regiments in Maine and other places weren't fighting. They weren't fighting for the same thing, fighting for the same Union, but not for the same reasons.
So evidently, the Southern country rock band Confederate Railroad used to be a staple at state fairs. But now this year, because of their name, the state fair in Illinois, a state fair in New York said no, here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. We are 30 minutes away from the dumbest things we read all week. Stay tuned for that. We do that every Friday. That's coming up. And an hour from now, we're gonna talk a little bit about Michael Thomas, the wide receiver of the New Orleans Saints, who is not going to be participating in camp today. As we're all excited because the Saints camp opens today. Football is finally back. But Michael Thomas, the best wide receiver that the New Orleans Saints have ever had, at least statistically, his first 3 years, incredible. Last year, his statistics. The greatest ever in New Orleans Saints wide receiver history. He didn't show up to camp because he wants a new contract. He's still, even though this is going to start his fourth season, he's still under contract, the rookie contract he signed, but he's not making very much money. He's only the third highest paid wide receiver on the Saints, making about $1 million a year. He's holding out. He wants $20 million a year. The Saints have offered either $18 or $19 million a year, but he says, I want 20. That 20 number he would be the first NFL wide receiver in history to make $20 million a year, and he's holding out for that. What do you think about that? I mean, in my opinion, he deserves to be paid, but there are others that believe, look, he's still under a contract that he signed. He should be showing up to camp. If you want to text us and let us know how you feel about that, our number is 504-260-9595. What do you think about the Michael Thomas holdout? Again, they're only a million or two apart, and they're going to pay him. And from the people I talk to, I understand that this holdout's not going to last very long and that it's going to get done. But what do you think about that?
Standard data and message rates apply. 260-9595 via text. And don't text while driving.
I was just reading about this 6-year-old South Korean YouTube star who just bought an $8 million piece of property. A 6-year-old. The child's name is Borum, from South Korea, the YouTube star. And when I say YouTube star, this child has 30 million people who subscribe to two different YouTube channels that the child has.
Now, this is not the one that we talked, or maybe it is, the one that we talked about a while back. It was a 4-year-old who would give reviews of, was it toys?
Yes, that's.
Is this the same?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because one of Borum's YouTube accounts, she posts content, a toy review channel. And obviously her parents set it up for her on YouTube, because I don't think she knows how to set up a YouTube channel.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, this day and age. But that toy review channel, 13.6 million people subscribe to that. And that's not even her biggest YouTube account. Her other YouTube channel, which is a video blog account, has 17.6 million subscribers. So she's got over 30 million subscribers to her two YouTube channels. And she is 6 years old. And this week, because of all of the money that she makes and her family makes because of YouTube, she was able to buy a home for $8 million.
In her part time, she enjoys My Little Pony and Splitting the Atom.
She's six. In one of her most popular clips, if you're wondering why so many people subscribe to her two YouTube channels, one of her most popular clips has gotten over 376 million views. She makes instant noodles using a plastic toy kitchen and then enthusiastically slurps them down on camera. Because of that...
It's like I have a twin.
Because of that and videos like that, this 6-year-old is raking in millions of dollars. Again, her family is making the money because her parents are the ones who set up these two channels. But she made so much money that the money that this 6-year-old has made has enabled her to buy a home, a piece of property worth $8 million. Some of the 6-year-old's content on YouTube has attracted controversy in her homeland of South Korea because of the values they say it promotes. 2 years ago, when she was four, non-governmental organization Save the Children received complaints from citizens in South Korea who were worried that the then 4-year-old's YouTube video clips could negatively impact the emotional and ethical development of young viewers. I mean, she was four at the time that people were complaining. that her YouTube videos could negatively impact the emotional and ethical development of young viewers. Probably they're saying that, well, this child gets these toys and she gets to open up these toys for the world to see. How many other four-year-olds, maybe their parents can't afford toys, and that's gonna hurt their emotional state of mind if they watch this. Isn't that something? There are people out there, here's a four-year-old at the time who's getting millions of YouTube hits on her YouTube video, collecting millions of dollars because of all of those hits. And instead of saying, like you and I say, wow, a four-year-old is making piles of money on YouTube, some people are saying, well, it's not good what that four-year-old is doing, because that four-year-old's opening up toys, and now all the other children that are watching this, they may not have the financial means to buy those toys, and that could hurt their emotional psyche.
Well, if they don't have the financial means to have the toys, they may not be looking at videos on the internet anyway. I'd like to know how many of her millions, what is it, 30 million subscribers?
Yeah, about 31 million.
I would love to see the age breakdown. Number one, I'd like to see what the actual engagement is of those 30 million, because people will click something and hit subscribe, as it is on YouTube, and then never see it again. They don't necessarily think about it.
The news agency where I'm reading this story, Brewster, they reached out to the six-year-old's representatives for comment.
And her lawyers said she has nothing to say.
Exactly. Well, not even that. They didn't even call them back. The news outlet.
Unreachable for comment.
Yeah. The six-year-old is unreachable for comment. The news outlet had not heard back at the time of this story was published.
I think she was probably enjoying a juice box.
You know how many other people are going to see this? And they're already trying to make their children big YouTube stars. A woman, I believe, in the state of Arizona is in jail right now because she had children and her children had millions of YouTube followers. And I guess somebody complained. And when authorities went to their house, the children were living in
squalor.
Yes. And the mother ended up getting arrested, even though. And the money was going to the mother because her children were very young. But evidently that Arizona mother saw this and said, boy, I got kids. They could be bank accounts. And she would have her very young children make YouTube videos. And when authorities showed up at her house, I guess the house wasn't in good shape. And I guess the kids weren't being treated or cared for that well. They weren't being fed that well. And now the mother is in jail. And those children aren't with her anymore, and those YouTube accounts have been taken down.
Where's my squalor sound effect? I think that's actually scabies.
Well, it's an incredible story. Borum.
Show me scabies!
Borum, the six-year-old South Korean YouTube star, just bought an $8 million home. 6 years old. Smart parents as well.
When I was 6 years old, I was picking my nose with both hands.
Hey, coming up next, if you enjoy eating apples, I just saw where researchers are now saying, I bet you've been eating them wrong your entire life. Stay tuned for that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Do you eat apples? You like apples? How do you like them apples? Well, chances are...
Would you slow down? I can't answer these all at once.
According to researchers, chances are you have been eating apples the wrong way your entire life. They just did a study. And they say that you should eat an apple, all of it, if you want the most nutritional value out of it,
right.
You should eat the whole damn apple. And I'm talking about the seeds, stem to stern. Yeah, the whole thing.
Sure.
Have you ever eaten an entire apple?
I have eaten seeds, like, kind of accidentally. They're a bit bitter, as most seeds in fruits are. I find that the, I don't know what you call that, that stuff, the hard, almost like cartilage type, it's almost like plastic. It's almost like what's inside a squid. It has that hard but yet flexible, would it be a membrane? Or, I mean, that's the kind of thing that really gets stuck in your teeth even more than the peel.
The number of healthy bacteria, and by the way, that's the good kind of bacteria.
Right.
The number of healthy bacteria you ingest will increase significantly if you eat the entire apple, according to a new study. Researchers over at Graz University of Technology, that's in Austria, and from what I understand about these Austrians, they know about their apples. They say it's healthier for you to eat the entire apple and don't throw away the stem,
right.
The seeds. What do they call that? The core?
The core. But who wants to eat all that though?
What's your favorite type of apple?
Hands down, really, the only apple I will eat is Honeycrisp.
What are those?
It's a variety of apple, John. You just asked me what kind of apple. Honeycrisp.
What color is it?
Apple colored, John. It's red and it's red and yellow. It's kind of a sunburst thing.
See, I think green apples are the best.
With my hand tied behind my back, I would pick Honeycrisp.
Well, see, don't say we're not trying to look out for you on this show.
Yes.
Next time you eat an apple, if you can do it. Now, I don't, even though I'm going to look at it, I'm going to eat it like I normally eat it, and then I'm going to look at what I usually throw away. Maybe I'll close my eyes. I mean,
right.
Because if they say that's healthier for you.
Let's do a little business here. We got time for this. We've got four or five texts in response to Michael Thomas and his holdout Saints camp. One says he's out. He's way outperformed his contract. Offer him $20.1 million. Another text says he should get paid. He should get paid a month. The elite receivers in the NFL, but $18 million. Is way too much. They're playing a game that we play for fun on the playground, but just not at the level that they're playing at, or nor the speed. Another text says he should show up for camp. You can't do that in the private industry. No loyalty. And finally, always save the best for last. Best text for last says he deserves more money, but at the end of the day, I'm like Brewster. And most people listening are. It's black or white. If the Saints want to step up and give me a little more money, that would be great, but they don't have to. A deal is a deal. Be a man, grab your rocks, and honor your word.
Well, look, and that's
words to live by.
That's how some people feel. He's incredibly underpaid for the numbers that he has put up his first 3 years. He's still playing under the rookie contract. But if the Saints don't show some goodwill and say, we're going to pay you $20 million a year or around there.
Right.
When his contract comes up, he's going to say, screw you, Saints. I'm going to go play for some other team. We don't want that because right now Michael Thomas is one of the two or three best wide receivers in the NFL.
Sports teams located in the city of New Orleans don't need to have any more bad vibe between players and fans.
And from what I understand, they're going to get it worked out. He's going to get paid. Coming up next. It's the dumbest things we read all week here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Since it's Friday, we're a little bit late today. Usually it's 8:35. This is where we tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. We've got a couple of runners up.
I feel bad because, you know, I like to run a tight ship around here.
Well, here's my runner-up.
All right.
The dumbest thing I read all week. Vlogger dies live-streaming himself eating poisonous centipedes and lizards. And this
kind of taking an ugly turn just in the headline.
No, this is pretty stupid, actually. And this is what people do for social media notoriety. A man has died after reportedly filming himself swallowing poisonous centipedes and geckos alive. I remember that video game Centipede when I was younger. That was a fun game.
I never could get the hang of centipedes.
The Chinese vlogger, named only by his surname, Sun, live streamed himself carrying out the stomach-churning challenge, which he had hoped would gain him more online followers. People are dying to get likes. They're literally dying for this. The 35-year-old son is said to have been found lifeless by his girlfriend when she went to check on him at his flat.
I think we've all been there.
He was later pronounced dead. Sun had also been filming himself drinking large amounts of alcohol as well as eating mealworms for the social media platform Douyu. D-O-U-Y-U. I guess that's basically like a Chinese YouTube.
I guess you can say that on the radio. I'm not sure.
He had 15,000 followers, and he was just doing this to try to get more followers.
Sure.
People are literally dying for social media notoriety.
Now, would he be considered a social media influencer? I guess if some follow in his path, sadly, if he becomes copycats start to do those things. It's like, remember the one where the guy was going to shoot himself in the chest, or his girlfriend was going to shoot him in the chest?
Yeah.
And she did, and he died.
What? Well, on live internet.
On live, right. Like Facebook Live or whatever.
Yeah.
She shot him, and he died. Mission accomplished. I just don't understand.
Well, they did get a few more likes because of
that. Well, there you go. So, happy ending after all.
As part of the stunt, what he would do for his 15,000 followers, he would spin a wheel marked with the items.
Oh, so there was like an element of danger and chance.
Now, this was all written in Chinese, or Mandarin maybe. But there were centipedes on the wheel, geckos, mealworms, vinegar, eggs, beer, and then a clear distilled liquor called baijiu. And then wherever the wheel would land, he would then eat it. And he would, on this website, live, and people were watching him, and He ended up dying.
The thing to do would be rig the thing so that it doesn't land on the poisonous scorpion or whatever it was first. Mm-hmm. You save that for last. It's like a concert. You know, you don't play your hit first.
Don't swallow poisonous centipedes and poisonous geckos.
Kids, if you're listening, kids, stay in school.
I don't care how many more likes you're going to get. Just don't do it. So it's my runner-up.
All right, here we go. Mother Fears Movie Theater has bed bugs again. Not the first time, again. Dateline, Marion, Indiana. Marion, Indiana is a community of about 30,000 people. It is about an hour and a half due northeast of Indianapolis. What was supposed to be a family outing to see a movie classic turned into a rather scratchy, itchy situation. Sheila Ruley is the mom in the story. You're going to hear her quoted often, as in this. We went to see The Lion King. We were in Theater 9. She says of her trip to the AMC Classic Theater in Marion last week with her kids. Within about 10 minutes, I felt a bite. When Ruley used her phone's flashlight, she saw something had bitten her. I had a bunch of bites all over my arms, she explained, adding that with each second that passed, the swelling on those bites just got worse. When she lifted the armrest of the seat, she said she saw bed bugs there. You know, it's hard to concentrate on a movie when you lift up the armrest on the seat and there's bed bugs in there, visibly. There were four of them. Well, she's from Indiana, so she said there was four of them. Just crawling, and she seen that there was just four of them. Crawling right around the armrest, the mom said she knows what they look like because a guest in her home 3 years ago brought bed bugs to her home. It was a nightmare. We had to get all new furniture, all new mattresses, so I don't want to deal with that again. When Ruley said she told the manager about the bed bugs, the manager suggested it was just a mosquito bite instead. She protested, "I know what bed bugs are. I forgot to tell you someone had ticks in here the other day, so it might be ticks." That's what the manager said. I'm like, ticks don't bite. Well, they do. ticks will. I've actually, when we went on vacation in Wisconsin when I was a kid, actually got a tick between my toes, and they won't let go. They don't bite, but they just, they have like a stinger or whatever, and it just, they won't let go. You have to take like a match. You light a match and blow it out real quick, but then put the head of the match on there, and a tick will then burn its back and let go.
So you had tick toe.
I did have tick toe. She's like, ticks don't bite. They bite and crawl under your skin or burrow under your skin. It's not the first time a visitor to that Marion Theater has complained about bedbugs that bit them last November. Eyewitness News in Marion spoke with a woman who told them that she was bitten all about her legs and arms. The Grant County Health Department came in and found there was a problem finding evidence of bedbugs and their eggs. She said the manager, that being Mrs. Ruley, said the manager gave her 6 free passes to make up for this, but she said she's going to pass on those passes.
So those are the runners up.
Yes, they are.
And here now is the dumbest thing I read all week.
I'm not sure if we have time for it now.
Texas man arrested for stealing ambulance to buy fried chicken and cigarettes. A, I can't believe this happened in Texas and not Florida. And the story goes, a man stole an ambulance from outside a Texas hospital early yesterday morning. And then he told officers he did so because he needed to get food and cigarettes. The suspect hasn't been named yet because he may be a medical victim. He walked out of a hospital. He's in his 60s. He stole the ambulance from the Cypress Creek Hospital, a psychiatric facility in Houston, Texas, just after midnight yesterday. When officials found him, there was KFC in the car. And he was he had a fresh pack of cigarettes that he was smoking in an ambulance.
Well, is it there?
Really?
There's oxygen in an ambulance, right?
Be careful. An official said that the ambulance had been left with its engine running right outside the hospital door. So they didn't think anybody was going to steal it. And this nut, well, I'm sorry, wait, I shouldn't say that. This was a psychiatric, this is a psychiatric hospital in Texas. This person ended up seeing the ambulance running, hopped in, and he was hungry. KFC, get a pack of smokes. I don't know what he bought first. I don't know if he stopped at the gas station to get the smokes first and then KFC.
Right.
Or if he stopped at KFC first and then to get the smokes to have after the meal.
It's been 10 years since I've had a cigarette, so I don't remember.
So I'm going to put this story on our website.
Oh, thanks.
Bayou957.com. It's up there now if you want to check this out. But that's the dumbest thing I read all week.
Yes.
Texas man arrested for stealing ambulance to buy fried chicken and cigarettes. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Usually there's 3 weeks in between the French Quarter Festival and Jazz Fest. Not next year. Next year they're going to be back-to-back weeks. Because of the NCAA Women's Final Four, which will be here in New Orleans.
That first weekend of April 2020.
Yeah. You know, usually you need 2 or 3 weeks in between the two festivals to get it all together to go back. But not next year. This year, you know how many people showed up, attended the French Quarter Festival?
Yes, I do.
825,000 people showed up for the French Quarter Festival.
That was just on Friday.
And their goal is to get a million. And I don't know if they're going to do it next year, but the 35-year-old French Quarter Festival is getting bigger and bigger. The biggest difference between Jazz Fest, tickets are free.
Right.
And you can just stroll around. They have like 20-something different stages now in the French Quarter set up all over the place.
There's always one weekend in April that is a complete washout. And I know in 2015, it happened to be the weekend they had the IndyCar race, the one and only IndyCar race out at NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. So hopefully it'll be one of those in between the Women's Final Four and the start of French Quarter Fest.
Yep, that's next year. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. What's the latest with the greatest wide receiver in New Orleans Saints history, Michael Thomas? Stick around, we'll tell you. And his contract holdout? It's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, if you love guitar-led guitar-driven rock and roll. I think Thin Lizzy, you would love them. They only had a couple of songs on the radio, including that one right there. But if you like crunchy guitar and guitar riffs, and I think Thin Lizzy's an underrated band. You should go, if you haven't, you should go listen to some Thin Lizzy that was never played on the radio. Really good stuff.
Well, I've mentioned it before that Gary Moore, the late one of the late guitar players from Thin Lizzy, had a really good solo album in the either late 70s or early 80s. And there was a song on there that got radio play. I was like a teenager back then, but I don't remember the song nor the name of the album. But let's see, 78, back on the streets, the name of the album.
Hey, I was just reading this, Brewster. There's a petition, and it's gaining steam, a lot of signatures, to move Halloween.
Yeah, I saw that. This is...
They want to move Halloween to the last Saturday of October.
Right.
And they want that to be Halloween forever. What do you think about that?
I think it means nothing because municipalities, they choose to celebrate Halloween generally on the weekend closest anyway. And by celebrate, I mean for, I'm not talking about people, I'm not talking about adults dressing up and cavorting, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about little kids still going around for the very strange task of getting candy and treats from sometimes total strangers. I still have a problem with that, but I understand what you mean. They're trying to get it moved to be a permanent floating day, but it doesn't work because it's Halloween or All Hallows Eve, the day before November 1st. It's not just a Hallmark card invented holiday. It's become that, but...
But the problem with Halloween now is, and especially for kids, more times than not, it's in during the week. It's a weeknight,
right.
A school night. It's during the middle of the week.
Right.
This way they figure if we can get the holiday set on the final Saturday of October...
But you didn't hear what I said.
I did hear what you said.
I mean, a lot of places choose to do it on that Saturday anyway. It makes it unfortunate if Halloween falls so far from that Saturday, but...
Well, this would be some sort of official Halloween deal. There's a petition online right now, and that petition, it's not quite as big or popular as the Storming Area 51 petition, where a bunch of people are thinking about going out there to find some aliens.
Aren't you late for that? When is that? Aren't you going? Are you going to that?
No, but I'm all for bumping Halloween from October 31st to, as you mentioned, a floating date that would be the last Saturday of every month of October. I think that would be a good idea.
Mm. Doesn't work. Sorry.
Well, we'll see what happens with that petition. All right, that's just about going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for listening. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. And coming up next, it's Ginty. He's got your music notes at noon and a lot of other things as well. Ginty!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.